Good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome to Palm Sunday here at Mem Church. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Let us pray. Assist us mercifully with your help, O Lord God of our salvation, that we may enter with joy upon the contemplation of those mighty acts, whereby you have given us life and immortality. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
A reading from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 21, beginning at the first verse. When Jesus and his disciples had come near Jerusalem and had reached Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, just say this, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them immediately." This took place to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, 'Look, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey.'" The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put their cloaks on them, and he sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and that followed were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, "Who is this?" And the crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." Here ends the lesson.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give God thanks and praise.
It is right to praise you, Almighty God, for the acts of love by which you have redeemed us through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. On this day, he entered the holy city of Jerusalem in triumph and was proclaimed as King of Kings by those who spread their garments and branches of palm along his way. At this time, if you could hold your palm branches high in the air. Let these branches be for us signs of his victory, and grant that we who bear them in his name may ever hail him as our king and follow him in the way that leads to eternal life, who lives and reigns in glory with you and the Holy Spirit now and forevermore. Amen. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.
Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, filio David, benedictus, qui venit in nomine Domini.
Let us go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Oh my goodness.
Open in the name of the Lord. Thank you.
Please join me in the call to confession. Dear friends in Christ, with faith in God's endless mercy and trust in God's boundless love, let us call to mind and confess our sins, first in the silence of our hearts and then together. Eternal God, in whom we live and move and have our being, whose face is hidden from us by our sin, and whose mercy we forget, cleanse us from all offenses and deliver us from proud thoughts and vain desires, that humbly we may draw near to thee, confessing our faults, confiding in thy grace, and finding in thee our refuge and our strength, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Dear friends in Christ, neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. May Almighty God have mercy upon us, forgive us all of our sins, strengthen us in goodness, and keep us in eternal life. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Please join in singing the hymn, Ride On, Ride On in Majesty, hymn number 147.
People of God, Christ said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. The peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be always with you." Let us share the peace of Christ with one another. Please be seated. Good morning. My name is Elizabeth Probst, and it's my pleasure to welcome you here today. No matter who you are, no matter where you are, no matter where you're from, no matter what you believe, no matter who you love, no matter how you're joining us this morning, whether online, on the radio, or here in the sanctuary, you are welcome here, and we are grateful for you. Today is Palm Sunday and the first day of our Holy Week pilgrimage, during which we learn about how God so loves us and how Christ calls us to share that love with the world. We will pray, we will sing, we will listen, and we will embody this sacred story once again. There is no right way to set out on this pilgrimage. You need nothing beyond an open mind and receptive heart. God will meet you and welcome you and love you just as you are. Our preacher for today is our own Reverend Matthew Ichihashi Potts. Our worship leaders are the Reverend Calvin Jones, Reverend Alana Sullivan, Harriet Lindemann, Courtney Godwin, and myself. Today's first lesson will be read by Matthew Alana, and the second lesson will be read by Ashlyn Wimberly. The university choir is led by Edward Jones and accompanied by David Von Baron. On Tuesday, April 4th at 7 p.m., the Harvard University Choir and Harvard Baroque Chamber Orchestra will perform Agostino Stefani's Stabat Mater. On Thursday, April 6th this week at 7 p.m., we will gather for our Maundy Thursday service when we remember Christ's celebration of the Last Supper with his disciples, during which he gave his commandment to love one another. Just as I have loved you, you should also love one another. On our Good Friday service, we will stand at the foot of the cross. Our liturgy will begin at noon, followed by meditations upon the seven final words from the cross. And we will have two services on Easter morning. The first at 9 a.m. will be a children and family-centered service with baptisms, and will be followed by an Easter egg hunt in Harvard Yard. And the second service will be at 11 a.m. with communion served. Reverend Potts will be preaching at both services. If you would like to dedicate Easter lilies in the memory of our loved ones who have passed away, there will be a sign up in the narthex following the service, and an online form will be live on our website as well. The deadline for those submissions is today. For more information about our Holy Week services or offerings, or to learn more about all the happenings in our community's life, please sign up for our weekly newsletter or visit our website. Following today's service, we hope that you can join us downstairs for some refreshments and fellowship following our worship. Just a note that coffee hour today will be ending at 1 p.m. I'll now invite the church school teachers to gather our children for church school. Our school is a nurturing Christian environment that strives to honor the intelligence, creativity, and diversity of the children in our care. If you'd like to know more about our church school, please contact Harriet Lindemann or Reverend Calvin Jones. Friends, God's steadfast love endures forever and ever. Because of God's enduring love, we cherish and give thanks for every good gift in our lives. Today, on this day God has made, we come to share out of the abundance of God's love and light among us, so that the world may know this boundless love that knows no end. Our offering goes to support the work of this church, especially our ministries to students and to our neighbors in need through the Grants Committee. The collection will begin from the front of the sanctuary. May our giving be a revelation of God's love, made known and being made known in our midst.
We have found it on the seas. A reading from the book of Isaiah, chapter 50, beginning at the fourth verse. The Lord God has given me the tongue of a teacher, that I may know how to sustain the weary with a word. Morning by morning he wakens my ear to listen as those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I did not turn backwards. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who pulled out the beard. I did not hide my face from insult and spitting. The Lord God helps me. Therefore, I have not been disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together. Who are my adversaries? Let them confront me. It is the Lord God who helps me. Who will declare me guilty? All of them will wear out like a garment. The moth will eat them up. Here ends the lesson.
Thank you. A reading from Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 2, beginning at the 5th verse. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Here ends the lesson.
To sacrifice. Let us pray. Steadfast love, you hand us the palm branches so that we can wave them in hope. You steady us in the days when pain is stuck to the bottoms of our lives, when fear is our constant companion. We empty ourselves so that you might fill us with joy. Humble healer, when our mouths turn numb and we cannot speak our dreams, you tenderly caress our cheeks, leaning over to hear our faltering words. When our arms grow weak from the burdens we carry, you take them from us and strengthen us with your mercy. We empty ourselves so that you might fill us with grace. Voice of wisdom, when death hovers so close that we can feel its cold breath, you come to us, the warm breath of resurrection, pushing aside our fears. When we hesitate to walk into the unknown stretching before us, you tightly clasp our hands and teach us the first step. We empty ourselves so that you might fill us with peace. God and community, you call us to be a part of your kingdom. You call us to lead others to it. So hear us now as we pray for the coming of that kingdom. In the words Jesus Christ taught us so long ago, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So thank you for being here this morning on this Palm Sunday, the beginning of our Holy Week, this holiest week in the church calendar, where, as Elizabeth read in our opening greeting, we do begin this spiritual pilgrimage. We embark upon this pilgrimage with Jesus towards Jerusalem, to his passion and death. I hope you will accompany us spiritually, also physically here in the church. Please do come and join us for our observances throughout the week, especially on Maundy Thursday and Good Friday. It feels like the beginning of something, the beginning of a week of these observances, and it is, as I said, we are embarking on this pilgrimage with Jesus. But in the gospel story, it's the end of something. In the three synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, which tell the story more or less the same way, Jesus' entry, his triumphal entry, I'll say more about that word triumphal in a minute, but his triumphal entry into Jerusalem marks a beginning, but also the end of something. He's been traveling. Most of his ministry was in Galilee, out in the country, serving country people. And then in Matthew, the gospel that we heard from today when we read it on the Thayer steps, and we heard the account that Harriet read of the entry into Jerusalem, in Matthew's version, since around chapter 17, 18, he's left Galilee and he's been heading towards Jerusalem. He's on his way, and he has reached the end of his journey. So what feels like a beginning to us is also the end of something for him. And he enters from the east. He enters from Bethphage. And that's important, actually. I think it's important that he enters from the east. And the reason it's important is because somebody else was entering from the west. Maybe not exactly at the same time, but around the same time. And I take this from the New Testament scholar Marcus Borg. So Jesus is said to have entered from the east in the gospel versions of the story and all the gospel accounts. Who's coming from the west? So the governor of Judea, the Roman governor of Judea, did not live in Jerusalem. Jerusalem was crowded. It's, you know, dusty, dirty. It's a city. The governor wanted something nicer. And so the Romans built a resort on the ocean, on the sea, Caesarea Maritima, to the west of Jerusalem. And Pontius Pilate spent most of his time in Caesarea. Every once in a while, Pontius Pilate would come to Jerusalem. And one time he would definitely come every year was during Passover. Because during Passover, tens of thousands, maybe even over 100,000 Judeans, Jewish people from around the diaspora, would come to Jerusalem to offer their sacrifice. And this was a time when things were touchy if you were a Roman governor. The people might be inclined to unrest or to protest or to uprising. And so it made sense for the governor to leave his resort on the sea and to march into Jerusalem for Passover. And because Caesarea Maritima is to the west of Jerusalem, he would enter the city from the west. So there are two entrances into the city of Jerusalem. In fact, around the time of Palm Sunday, around the time of Passover, Pilate entering from the west, and then we have Jesus entering from the east. And Pilate made a show of it. This was a big parade, a military parade, chariots, horses, soldiers, maybe even elephants, all marching in to Jerusalem, a show of strength, of martial strength, of imperial strength, a warning to the people. Don't get any ideas, because even though I spend most of my time out on the sea, I am still in charge, and you can and will feel the weight of my violence and my power. That's what that parade was meant to say to people. And then another entrance from the east. Jesus on a donkey. We call it the triumphal entry, Jesus' triumphal entry into the city, but especially when you compare it with the other entry that's going on, Jesus on a donkey with some crowds, against Pilate on an elephant with chariots and horses and soldiers. I mean, I think possibly the best way for us to think about it is it's more like a protest. This is a joke. They're poking fun at this entrance that Pilate makes every week with his army. Jesus comes in on a donkey. But the crowds, I think the crowds don't get the joke. They think it is the beginning of a revolt. The disciples at least do believe it's the beginning of a revolt. They think that Jesus has arrived to conquer Jerusalem, even on this donkey. And we know this because in the chapter before this chapter, in Matthew 20, James and John, two of the senior most disciples, their mom comes to Jesus. And as moms do, she's trying to angle for her sons a little bit. And she says to Jesus, "When you conquer Jerusalem, will you put my two in charge of some stuff? Take care of my boys." And then the other disciples get mad at James and John's mom for doing this, but it's not because they asked, it's because they asked first. This is what the disciples expect. And when the crowd rises up and cheers, as we said on the, as Harriet read on the Thayer steps, when the crowd stands up and cheers, they say, "Hosanna to the Son of David. David, the King, David, who conquered Jerusalem." This is the memory that they are echoing. Jesus preached peace, especially in the Gospel of Matthew. More so than anywhere else in the other Gospels, Matthew is the Gospel where Jesus says, "Love your enemy." Matthew is the Gospel where Jesus says, "Bless those that curse you. Turn the other cheek." This is the message of peace, but when Jesus is entering and the disciples are expecting conquest, they're okay with war. They just want a war they can win. They're okay with a man like Pilate as long as that man is on their side. And when Jesus proves to be something else, as Jesus will prove this week, when Jesus reveals himself to be a man utterly unlike Pontius Pilate, a man absolutely opposed to the brutality and the martial and imperial tactics of the man who condemns him to death, these people, we, his people, refuse the kingdom that he promises. Well, not all the people. There is a voice in the margins of the gospel, and it's one that we ought to listen to and pay attention to. The crowds do call Jesus the Son of David, and I think when they say that, they are echoing the conquering vision of David the King who established Israel. But others also call Jesus the Son of David, and they are remembering another part of Israel's history, another part of Israel's legacy. As the crowds are gathering at the end of chapter 20, just before chapter 21 in the triumphal entry, as the crowds are gathering and they're walking along the road, there are some blind men, it says, along the road, and the blind men call out to Jesus, and they call out to him, and they say, "Jesus, have mercy upon me." And Jesus does, and he heals them, and they call him the Son of David. Think about this scene, crowds gathering, everyone walking around. These men on the side of the road are asking anyone to pay attention to them, and no one is except for this one man who answers their call and shows mercy. And they also call him Son of David. And it happens a couple other times in the Gospel of Matthew as well. In chapter 15, the Canaanite woman, a descendant of the people King David conquered, a Canaanite woman comes to Jesus and asks him to save her daughter who is dying, and Jesus does, and she calls him Son of David, recalling Israel's prophetic legacy to care for the stranger and the foreigner among you. And in the scene after this triumphal entry, Jesus goes into the temple, and we all remember when Jesus gets to the temple, he cleanses the temple and throws out the money changers and yells at everybody, and that's very dramatic, and it's important that we remember this. This is part of what Jesus was tried for and condemned for, but in the Gospel of Matthew, after this happened, Jesus hangs around the temple, and people come to him, people who are disabled and poor and blind, and they ask him for healing, and he offers it to them. And he heals so many people, the children who are hanging around the temple. I don't know why there were a bunch of children hanging around the temple. I imagine them as street children. Jesus is helping so many people there that the street children raise up and they sing to him, "Hail to you, Son of David." And when they say it, when they recognize Jesus as the Son of David, these children, these street children, having seen Jesus' healings, when they recognize him as the heir of David, what they recognize him is the heir of Israel's promise to love the neighbor and love the stranger and love the widow and the orphan. There is this other voice. It's not just the voice from the streets crying for violence. It's also the voice in the margins recognizing Jesus' holiness and goodness and sanctity. Jesus has come into Jerusalem. He has entered the city today. But as is always the case, what is at stake for Jesus this morning and each day is love. The kingdom that Jesus promises is one of love. And love seems harmless enough. But what is threatening about love, what is frightening about Jesus' love, is that Jesus' love is boundless. It reaches beyond ourselves to the people we do not love. It reaches those we neglect and forget. It reaches those who do not love us. It reaches our enemies. Jesus' love reaches those we hate. It's easy to believe in a kingdom where we're the ones who are loved. I like that kingdom. We're so easy to love. But a kingdom built upon love for the ones you don't have time to love, or energy to love, or resources to love. A kingdom built upon love for the ones you would rather forget, or rather dismiss, or rather condemn. This is too much. This is where Jesus goes too far. As we will learn later this week, it turns out that we would rather forsake Christ than remember the lost. We would rather kill Jesus than love our enemy. 55 years ago this Tuesday, the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., a man who posed no threat other than peace for all, a man who sought only justice and love for all people, a man who proclaimed his own vision of a beloved community, a vision indeed inspired by Jesus. 55 years ago this Tuesday, the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated in Memphis, Tennessee. We, who claim to follow Jesus, have not come far this 2,000 years. We would still rather forsake love than remember the lost. We would still rather kill our peacemakers than love our enemies. And yet, this day and this week, after so many years of our failure, Jesus enters his kingdom of love and of justice and of peace. Jesus enters it once again. May we, at last, have courage to follow.
Please rise as you are able and join in singing the closing hymn, "What Wondrous Love Is This, O My Soul," hymn number 221.
Thank you.
As Jesus makes his way to Jerusalem, to passion and death this week, may you have courage to follow, and may the peace of him who goes before us, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be among you all and remain with you always.
Thank you.